Hello and welcome to the Delicious Recipe here on UPRN. If you're watching live, you can be watching us on UFO extraterrestrials and on YouTube. UFO Paranormal Radio. UFO Paranormal Radio is done twice. We're on iTunes, iHeart, StreamYard, Spreaker, all the places where podcasts are done. And today, I think I called this one Limp Bizkit, and I have an old friend that I actually went to school with a long time ago back, and we actually rode the school bus together. And so I want to welcome Rachel Dodds. Welcome.
Thank you, Dell. Yeah, it's been a long time since we rode that big yellow bus, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Yes, it's a, if I don't want to think about 35 years something plus ago. So,
Yeah, mid-80s anyway.
yeah. So we have there today there is that you've done a lot of interesting things there in your life. You actually were on the radio back before when I actually that's how I ended up I heard about you again there later on. But if you want to tell them about where you've come from and gone to here now.
Yeah, I have done a lot since the days of riding the bus together, and I'll leave out some of the boring parts and just get to the part about where you found out about me being on the radio. And that was back when I was living in Nova Scotia, Halifax, and I was running my own business, and I just got known. I started writing for the Daily News as a weekly contributor, and I wrote a weekly column for them, and then I cross-marketed that with the radio show. I went and approached the radio station and said, "Hey, I have an idea. Why don't we do a morning segment, talk about things that I couldn't necessarily put in print, and we'll
Right.
do the morning show." And at first they're like, "Well, morning show time is pretty valuable, and we'll give it a try." It lasted 7 years, and
Wow.
until I finally made a move to a different province, and it ended up becoming probably one of the most listen to segments that they had. And I was really proud of that because it re like I was able to reach such a broad audience. It wasn't just the station was it's a rock station, so it tend to have sometimes more of a male listenership. But when I'd be out in public and people would find out who I was, if I showed my debit card, it could be like the 50-year-old cashier saying, "Oh my God, are you the girl on the radio?" And then it'd be if I met young women, they said, "Oh, my mom really likes you," or the women knew who I was. And the young, like just, men and women of all ages, it had an impact. And that's probably the part that I was most proud about because it was really all about informing, educating, and entertaining people. And I think that we were pretty successful for that. So I was on the radio for 7 years, and that tied in with my weekly column. I did leave the province and did a few other things, and now I've just circled back to doing my own thing again. And I just recently started my own blog called Simple Truths by Rachel. The premise behind the blog is it's to take it's mindfulness, tying it in with music, to help bring awareness to some pretty blatant truths, but also some inconvenient truths. Because really,
Okay.
when it's kind of interesting how much music can really relate to, well, what's going on in the world. Even music that was written 40, 50, 60 years ago is so, it's so relative to what is happening today. And sometimes there are messages in the music that we've heard for years, but we didn't always get the message. So it's really all about tying in mindfulness music and truths, basically.
Oh, that's awesome there. Yeah, because like I think I even put a post up on Facebook there is that when you're stressed out and you're feeling down and stuff like that, that music was sort of seems to heal the heart or bring you up and bring you to a place. But also too, music can make you sad. It's an emotional thing there. And well, let's go into the part that that you wanted to talk about there today.
Well, it's interesting. As you know, I've been kind of circling back when you and I have been talking about doing the show. And initially, I had a song about testosterone that I was going to send you. I kind of just said, the heck with the music. Really, what we want to talk about is, for me, culturally, there's something going on. And I think that it brings back some questions about our food sources in terms of why. So, and I want to just talk about how. And studies show that testosterone is it's on the decline. And from here on in, I'm going to start referring to it as T levels because I'm going to mispronounce testosterone if I haven't already. I'm very good at mispronouncing words, just so you know. So you'll probably get a few of that in this segment. But yeah, I find there's a couple things going on culturally, globally, and I, you know, in terms of, you know, the not only scientifically this drop in T levels in men, but I also think that there is an attack on masculinity. And this is just my perception. And the whole point of us maybe talking is to, you know, share this opinion and take a look at it. And if this is something worth considering and bringing awareness to, I'm hoping that the people that this is impacting, let's say the masculine part of our population, I want to encourage a resistance if there's any fact behind this, because, you know, we'll talk about why I feel this way and what I'm seeing in our social structure today in terms of why I think there's an attack on masculinity, why I think it's relative. Sorry, go ahead.
Like what I said on my show here is the delicious recipe. We throw everything in the pot and we see how it tastes at the end. And maybe you take a little piece from this or a little piece from that, make your own recipe, but it's just information and that's all it is.
Yeah, because you know what? Food has a lot to do. We are what we eat. And I think there's movements about our diet and some, you know, movements about food choices, especially in the last couple of years, that there's things that are being forced on us that I think we need to question in terms of our food sources and the diet choices that we make. And we've seen a lot of changes in our food sources and, you know, the last 40, 50 years, maybe even more so sooner. But I think when, you know, the 70s came around and food became more convenient, more processed, I think we started to see some changes in our human makeup. And I don't think they're positive.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And that's the thing. Like I started a garden this year. I actually started one last year and did that again there. And I think the big problem was in my opinion there is that with processed foods and being wrapped in plastics and with because there's a bunch of other studies there too about these little plastic things that are in people were taken from the 60s or actually from the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s when the petroleum chemicals came apart, is that the plastics that stay in your body was actually causing decreased sexualizing or the testosterone and stuff like that in men. And that's in a different study, but that's something else, but I'll let you go ahead. Sorry for interrupting.
No, that's actually quite relative, and I'm glad you threw that in there, because the dates too that you quoted go back even further. And this is the point, one of the points I wanted to make, is that there's things creeping into our food sources for a long time, and whether it's intentional or not, I don't know. I do believe full-heartedly that there are sources in our food that are affecting testosterone levels. And I think that we need to address it, because I think there might be an agenda behind it.
Hey, well, this is my show is about conspiracies there too as well, and I've talked about the Monsanto stuff that with there's a whole bunch like of things that go on there, and I think there is probably an agenda. I talked about the World Economic Forum and the people that are involved with that, and with Trudeau and everybody else and stuff like that. And it seems to be that there is sort of a one-way sort of thing that things get done, and government is paid for by big pharma, big industry, oil companies and stuff like that, and they pollute the our food sources, pollute their waters and everything like that. And then you wonder why that people are getting sick and coming up with new diseases.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with that that take on it, because I see it. We see it. It's right in front of us. And I think that's one thing I want to encourage people is to just believe what you're seeing. It's you know, they can tell you one thing and then you'll see something else. And it really comes down to just believe what you're seeing with your own eyes. It's not just a conspiracy that they're trying to remove meat from our diet. You know, they're they're making up these Beyond Meats, fake meats, trying to encourage us to eat bugs, which I guess is a form of protein, but no. And it's not a conspiracy. It's happening. Yeah.
And well, that's funny you brought up the part about bugs there, because there was a bunch of posts that actually came out. And I remember about the Beyond Meat and the Whopper, Beyond Impossible Whopper and stuff like that, that was bugs and stuff like that. And other countries do that, but people don't understand is that bugs also do have parasites and pathogens. And if you cook those things into them or do whatever, you're ingesting something different into your body. That's what people didn't really eat bugs. So some countries used crickets and stuff like that, but this World Economic Forum thing, they had this whole list of stuff that they wanted to go through there, and that they would say meat is only going to be a special occasion thing, like a birthday cake once a year. And you need protein and you need fat, and you need fat for your brain. Bugs don't have any fat in them, right? So they're trying to eliminate all the stuff that would make you actually think that you're smarter, or to feed your brain so you can't think. It's a whole system of thinking there, but I'll let you go on. Sorry.
Well, no, you know what? You've actually just you hit the nail on the head for me. I think there's two things going on here. I think that, they're trying to take away food sources that help our brains to be healthy and to be able to critically think, but also too, the protein. We need protein to survive. We need protein to be healthy. Testosterone in particular relies on meat and the proteins derived from meat. And what happens when you have a population that is low on testosterone?
Yeah, well, you end up having, I can answer that question, but I'll let you answer it.
Well, I want to know your take, and then I'll give you my take. What happens?
You end up having people that are very lazy, don't want to do anything. They get fat and lazy, and they don't want to have sex anymore. They don't want to procreate. They don't want to do anything. That's basically what it is.
And that's what I think too. I think that they want a culture or a population that is docile. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have that testosterone. They're not up to fight. They're emasculated. Low testosterone. I mean, when you go through puberty, that's what you're doing. You're developing testosterone. You're becoming men. And I think when you have men, grown men of testosterone, you're doing some very dangerous things, and we need that masculinity, and we need it from our food sources. And I think this is what's being attacked. I think it's being attacked on purpose. Like you said, to not only take away the nutrients that we need for our brains to function sharp, but also too, to have that, those levels of hormones that make men, men. Mm-hmm. And, I'm not here to condone, bad behaviors by men. I really just want to bring to the awareness that as the feminine part of society, we need that masculine side of it. Mm-hmm. And see a blatant attack on it.
Oh, for sure. And I said, what does it happen there with females, with the food sources? What happens with them? Did we cut off? Oh, maybe we did. She might just pause. We're having a storm here up here in Thunder Bay. So that if something happened there, we're having a storm. So
Actually. So yeah, I don't know if it was my storm or your storm, but
yeah. It just started thunder and lightning outside there, and it's
we have thunder and lightning here. So the storms are upon us, aren't they? We're quite a bit apart.
we're talking about the higher powers that are doing the stuff to us here, but out of the part there is that how women do have testosterone too, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And I don't even want to do too much about I am very involved with, or I concern myself with my food sources, because I want to maintain healthy hormones of all kinds of things as a woman. I'm going into my 50s. I am in my 50s. Mm-hmm. So in terms of, absolutely, everything needs to stay balanced. And when we start, both for women and for men, And the other hormone that they start to mess with in our food sources is cortisone, right? And that is what we need too to manage our stress. And that is actually something, again, that going back to testosterone, for both men and women, it destroys it. Cortisone will destroy testosterone. So, okay. Yes. And but so yeah, in terms of hormonal imbalance, both men and women definitely need testosterone.
So if you go and break this down there, where do you think this started? Like, I think this started with the fast food industry and with TV dinners and instant foods and moving people into cities where they can't farm anymore.
Yes.
That's what my thoughts are on it. And you tell me yours. So,
well, I don't know the answer to that. And I've asked myself that too. And, you know, I don't want to say that it started with, I mean, there's cultures that have been vegetarian for bazillion years, like 33,000 years before BC, such as the people of India. They've always been vegetarian. So I don't want to say that there's this movement towards vegetarianism or veganism that is trying to perhaps take away our protein sources, because that may or may not be true. But one of the things that I've seen creep into our food, in terms of what you say about processed food, is soy.
Yeah.
Now, the soy is such a gray area. If you look up the pros and cons, good or bad, there's no real answer. So I think the fact that there is no real answer is alarming enough to basically say that I think it needs to be a concern.
Yeah.
So now let's talk about that term, soy boy.
Yeah, there you go. You know, okay. Yes, a very weak male.
Right? Exactly. And yeah. It's almost synonymous with Trudeau, but that's a whole other show, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
but why has that term even entered our vocabulary, if you think about that, the soy boy? You know, and that there are studies out there that show that soy does have a negative impact on testosterone. And now we have this term soy boy, which again, like you said, refers to a lack of masculinity. So I think, and one of the things that comes to mind is that in Southern Ontario, all the farming that was once tobacco and wheat is now all soy. All apart in Southern Ontario, all through the, you know, around in London and area, all those fields now that were once tobacco are all soy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, this is a lot of soy that, and they're selling it worldwide, you know, and why do we need all that soy?
And well, a part of there too is that even with corn too, is that corn is not a very nutritious corn is not a very nutritious thing at all. And the thing is, was that they feed this to animals, and soy, they also feed this to animals too as well. And it's used as that for feeding. And you think now you're feeding animals this product that is not good for us, but you're feeding it to the animals that you want to feed us. They're not eating anything. There's sort of a sickler sort of thing there that sort of seems to be happening. Sorry, we're just having a thunder shower there going off here, and it's thunder and lightning. And so things cut off a little bit there. I'm sorry. But farmers, I noticed that too down in Southern Ontario. I noticed that I have cousins that live out in Manitoba, and they had to change their fields, change them to different crops, because that was what the only thing that was being purchased was that. And so they had to change to that. And going, well, why? Like, who eats soy besides it was an Asian food?
It once was. And now, not only are they manufacturing all this, you know, these soy products and, you know, these Beyond Meats and the other brands, but those are so processed. Those are highly processed. So people that think they're taking these steps towards being, you know, making ethical choices, or perhaps for dietary reasons, they need to question how much processing and chemicals and fake products are going into these I don't know, fake meats or whatever it is you want to call them, or meat alternatives.
Right.
Because, and also too, a lot of times when I'm reading ingredients, it'll say may contain soy, or something that you think would not have soy in it is on the ingredients list. So I find that it's creeping in to all kinds of food sources.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to question why, you know, is it being added for protein? Or, and I don't know the answer to that. I you know, at the end of the day, I just think that it's something that people need to keep their eye on, because it's a questionable ingredient that's popping up into a lot of our food that's been sneaking into it for the last couple of decades.
Have you noticed this? Is that okay? I was born in 1970, and as I was going to school, I went to school. I ate peanut butter and jam sandwiches. That's what I took all the way through for pretty much most of it. And then all of a sudden, I think after I finished high school in 88, 89, somewhere like that, all of a sudden I started hearing that, okay, well, now we have these peanut allergies and people that are sick and all these latex allergies and all this. And I'm going, now you can't bring peanut butter sandwiches to school anymore. You can't have it wrapped in a certain thing. You can't do this. And I was like, this seems a little bit weird that this all of a sudden just sort of slowly creeped up and went there. And then people are getting sick with these new allergies to a lot of things. And I'm going, looking like, okay, well, you got McDonald's. I don't want to put it on McDonald's, but fast food places, processed foods, instant dinners, and stuff that how it's packaged and how it's processed. That wasn't natural foods that you would have had before. And I'm wondering if that could be just a theory, but if that could be a purpose or a thing that happened that's making people sicker.
I do believe it's the food sources, and I noticed that too. You know, I came right after you in 1971, and then it was as I became an adult, and all of a sudden, all these kids have peanut allergies, like deathly, deathly serious peanut allergies. I'm like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Food source is one thing to consider, and I always try to definitely walk delicately when I bring up this subject. However, I'm just relaying what I've read and what I've seen. It could also be linked to inoculations, childhood inoculations that have been given. And I've seen some evidence presented.
Yeah.
About
my wife is a nurse there, and yeah, she's been talking about that. And like, even with this, I will call it the new C that's out there. I never got a shot out of that there. And it was a reason being is that, I have a family of nurses and stuff like that. And you know what? I can handle a flu, handle a sickness and that. And you know what? Natural immunity, herd immunity is way better than getting a shot. I'm against going to the hospital unless I break a leg or something like that. Or need to get stitched up. That's where I stand on it. But to each their own. And it's not saying everybody out there that's listening that don't see a doctor. Go see a doctor. But
growing up in Northern Ontario, you know, we were pretty hardy, and I'm the same way. I don't go to the hospital unless I absolutely have to, because I'm bleeding to death or something. A couple of times I've been in the hospital because of an emergency. I too have chosen to, I have full faith in my immunity and my immune system. And that's the way I choose to live my life. And I haven't been sick in over 3 years. So
that's surprising. What happened over the last 3 years?
I know.
But the thing is, I also have my sister-in-law is a naturopathic doctor, and I have another aunt that's deals in naturopathy and stuff like that, and dealing with eating healthy foods and natural medicines where you're not getting it from big pharma. That's a manufactured synthetic pill. Right. So there's a whole school of thought and a way to whatever to think about things. And that's what I'm telling people that are listening out there is that look into things, look into alternate methods. You don't have to just go and say that this is the one thing because you heard it from one doctor and that's the way it has to be. That's all I can say out of that.
Well, you know what, we can circle back and really simplify it. There's a great book out there written by a doctor. You can cure anything with food. Heal yourself with food. And that's really why I want to question what's happening right now, you know, with our food sources and some of the issues it's having on our hormones and fertility. You know, again, when you see drops in T levels, that's affecting fertility and our ability to reproduce, which again, I think there might be something bigger behind that. You know, and if you and I follow the same groups and question the agendas behind organizations such as the World Economic Forum, we know what the agenda is.
Mm-hmm.
And it is to control population or reduce population. And I do see a correlation of our food sources being tampered with, a decline in testosterone, but also in just the attack on masculinity as a whole. And I want to bring awareness to it because we have to resist. We have to resist for our own health. We have mm-hmm. to resist so that we continue to have masculinity in mm-hmm. our society and so that we continue to reproduce. You know, we got to fight against this is really what it comes back to. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's why it's important that we continue to look like, to your point, let's stop looking towards out. Food has always been there to nourish us and to heal us. And that's what we need to get back to.
Well, that was the whole thing. Yeah, you said to nourish, but it was also energy. It was the strength to go out through the day. And you find like JT and the Muppet Gang there, when they started getting rid of guns that were going through there, and this whole thing there is like, okay, well, now you have a society of men that don't want to fight anymore. And they become, okay, well, and maybe they don't want to go to the voting booth or they want to go to anything. It reminds me of that movie, Wall-E, where everybody got fat on the spaceship. And everything is done for us. Oh, yeah. And just eating this, all this processed food and that. They didn't want to do anything. And it's like, wow. I said, I can see this is the way society is sort of going here in North America. And that just to become lazy.
Yes. And, you know, you hit on something too and disarming the citizens. And I'm telling you, Canada, they need to wake up a little bit in respect, no, a lot, but in respect to why are they disarming their citizens? History will tell you go back decades, every time a group of citizens has been disarmed, it's a precursor for genocide.
Right. Yeah.
It's in the history books. I'm not making this up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they want. They want a docile population. They want men that don't want to fight back. They want to emasculate them socially, mm-hmm. culturally, through their diets, which is exactly what's going on. And, you know, I'm appealing to all the men out there to resist this because, mm-hmm. you know, and even these terms like toxic masculinity, what is toxic masculinity? Again, a new term that's been thrown out there that here's what the danger is. We don't really know what it means and we start using it and it starts having damaging effects on the mindset of the men. And again, I'm not condoning bad behavior by men. Basically what I'm saying is that men, how I define masculinity, men are protectors. Masculine side are protectors, whether it be our fathers, our brothers, our husbands, men are protectors.
Mm-hmm.
And we need them. We need them to stay healthy. We need them to keep their mindset. We need them to know that they are the masculine side of society and we need them to protect us. And right now, across the globe, there's a high level of tyranny going on. And I think what's really come up about in the last 3 years is how there is a lack of masculinity out there.
Yes. You want to just check your microphone there, Rachel?
Oh.
There, you sort of... you went sort of a little bit. We heard you there, but it went sort of tinny there for a bit.
Oh, okay. I don't really know how to check my microphone, other than the fact.
Okay, that... it's better. It might be part of the storm that's happening here. That something's okay. going on there. I was looking at mine, going, "Oh, am I not hearing you right?" But no, you're absolutely correct. Is that you want to use the word soy boy or whatever, and this part about being unmasculine or male feminist, and like there's a whole bunch of terms that have come out there since I don't know the 80s I guess or whatever, but it's just like this whole part, and I'm like, you can't joke around with people anymore. People are offended, easily offended, and I just find it so funny. And I have such a dark, sarcastic humor that I can't even say it on this show because I'd probably be canceled. But the thing is, was that people are getting tired. You're seeing people that they don't, this whole thing about we don't keep score anymore. We're teaching our children not to keep score. We're teaching them, everybody is a winner. Everybody gets a trophy. And this, I think there's a couple of different layers that are involved in this. And it could be from the food from beforehand, low testosterone. And then it's just sort of keeps on climbing upwards a little bit more. And I'm going, why wouldn't you ever want to be like the MVP of doing sports or something like that, or the best? And they're going, well, that's okay. We all get a trophy. And I was like, this is driving me nuts.
Mm-hmm. I think they call that conditioning for communism.
Yeah.
No, not everyone is a winner.
Yeah.
You have to strive. And that's the other thing. They don't want people to be competitive. They don't want them to strive to be the best. They want them to be complacent, and they want them to be docile.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very dangerous way that things are going. It's a very dangerous trend.
Yeah.
So I just want to quickly touch on the fact that it's my understanding that you're now a butcher. This is a new thing, a new skill under your belt.
Yes. Well, I was a chef. I was an iron worker, and I built houses with Harry Wilson and did that. And so I did a lot of construction work, and now I'm going in to be a butcher. Lots of meat, lots of protein, lots of fat. Yeah. Fat is flavor. Fat is good for the brain, and protein is good. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, like I said, vegetables play a very important role in our health, and that's not what we're here to talk about, but definitely to make sure that the importance and the value of our meat sources and our red meat is not diminished, and, you know, it's not disrespected, and that we maintain it and we fight for it. And I know you had mentioned that you started growing your own gardens and your own food sources. I think more and more we need to, whether it be with our vegetables or even our meat sources, we need to start taking control of our own food and definitely our own meat sources, because I think there's an attack on our red meat, on our proteins, our natural proteins.
Oh, for sure. And that was one of the second point that came from the World Economic Forum, is that meat would only be a specialty once a year or something like that. And they're going, like, say, no, you need that. Like, there's red, not the part about red meat, but the whole part about the fat and the red meat. And like we said this at the very beginning part, is that it's good for the brain. It feeds the brain and makes you smarter. Not makes you smarter, but it keeps your brain healthy. And there's so many things that people don't understand when they start thinking about eliminating all that stuff.
Absolutely. And it's the balance of nature, if you think about it. So, you know, you're out in nature, and the other day I saw a little baby bunny. Well, at some point in time, all baby bunnies are susceptible to a snake coming and eating them, to a hawk swooping down and getting them. Is there going to be outrage? Is there going to be outrage towards snakes? Is there going to be outrage towards hawks for going in and grabbing baby squirrels? Like, it just doesn't make sense. It's not logical.
Yeah. Is there any outrage to the farmer that's growing soybeans there, and he's got his combine and he kills all the bugs and snakes and rats and bunnies and stuff like that as he's going through there, as there's processing these soybeans? No, there isn't. This is one thing I was thinking about when we mentioned this, the other part there. If anybody's watched the TV series Alone, that's where people go and they have to go and survive for the longest. Yeah. And the part that it is for every single season is the person that gets meat and fat. That's the person that survives the longest. There's vegetarians don't last. People that eat rabbits that have no fat don't last. You need fish that has high in fat, or you need a moose or a deer or something like that. And this has been the whole thing through all the seasons. Ever since, and even on other shows that about these survival shows, if you don't have meat and fat, your body diminishes.
Well, you know, and another interesting, you're right, and I do love that show, and I noticed that. But the other thing too, have we ever examined the Eskimo diet? Eskimos don't have vegetables.
No.
And you look at, you know, how decades they survived on the fat and meat seals and fish and whatever game they could catch within the season. And I remember I read a whole
article, a woman who had grown up as an Eskimo, and that's how she, you know, that's how they survived. So there's definitely, the evidence is out there that as humans, we need fat and meat sources.
Yeah, well, that besides the Eskimos, and you look at Iceland there, the exact same thing there too. They with the blubber, the frozen, they whatever they kept, that was, you had to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, I also used it as a fuel source there too for lighting there, because they were up north. But yeah, it says if you didn't have that, there is no way that you would survive. You would just wither away and die. And that's that comes to this whole part that I always think about when I listen to vegans, and I know this might upset some people there, and they go, okay, well, I'm a vegan here. But the thing is, was that can you be a vegan eating the natural vegetation that's in the area that you are, right? Not getting coconut oil from another country and stuff like that. Like, if you were actually here in, say, where I am here in Thunder Bay, can you live off of natural vegetation and survive? For how long would you actually survive before you withered away without getting extra help from other countries with extra foods that have oils and stuff like that?
Absolutely. And I never even thought about that before, but that's definitely a really good question. And, you know, can you grow chickpeas in Thunder Bay? You know, that's an important source of protein of that kind of diet, you know, and yeah.
No, just eat the naturally grown stuff that's here, not importing stuff and growing it here, but stuff that is native to this area. Can you live as a vegan here with no meat?
No, you couldn't.
Right. No.
And but I think sorry, go ahead.
Otherwise, I said that's a question that I always ask for vegans that are sort of like that. I go, it says like they get very, very into your face about that. I go, can you survive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's logic, but you could catch a rabbit and survive for, you know, a week or two on that.
Yeah, but rabbits, you can actually die from rabbits, though. That's the thing, though.
It's like, can you?
Well, yeah, because you can't survive on rabbits because they have no fat. So that's a big thing that this goes through history. There are about people that have that were out mining and going up north and stuff like that and catching rabbits, and they need meat that has fat, or else they die. You can't survive on rabbits, just rabbits alone. Yeah,
did not know that.
Yeah, there's lots of stories about that, and anybody that's out there, you can check it out on the internet, and yeah, there's a whole thing that can't survive on rabbits.
And I don't mean to be picking on rabbits here in terms of us eating them and the snakes eating them. It just kind of came up into my word, my thoughts here, so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think, again, as human beings, it goes back to the fact that even when I'm chewing meat, why were we given canines? Like the teeth that we have, they tear through flesh for survival. It's not so that we could tear through leaves and, you know, in beans and seeds. We were given these teeth for a reason. And I think that's what I keep going back to, like humans and what our basic needs are.
Yeah.
And everything has become so much more, you know, whether it be, you know, processed and convenient and these new movements and, you know, people are offended by this or offended by that. And it's robbing us of what is actually our bodies need from the very basics.
Well, correct. Yeah. So out of this whole part there is that with the testosterone, where is the best place that you get testosterone from, like an injection from, or like not an injection, but like an ingestion of?
Protein. And your best forms of protein are even fatty fish, like you were saying, you know, protein and fat. Salmon is fantastic for that. Of course, all kinds of meats. And, you know, obviously, when we talk about eating animal products, it just stands to reason that the ethical treatment of animals, we should all be advocating. Every single human, whether you're a vegan or not, or if you're a carnivore, we all should be advocating for the ethical treatment of animals. But yes, your best sources are going to be protein. And, but also through, there are other ways, leafy greens, eating your spinach, But the other thing that a lot of people overlook in terms of like male health, and I'm just going to throw this in here because yes, we want to make sure you're getting testosterone, you get it from meats, nuts. And I'm going to encourage people to do their own research too, because there's a wealth of information out there on what you can eat. But another really important thing that people overlook is the importance of nitric oxide, which is important for circulation, which helps maintain the testosterone. So one of the best things for that, beets.
Beets,
everybody
really, should
be eating their meats and eating their beets.
Wow, eh? And yeah. also getting out into the sun, because that's free vitamin D, and that's a healthy thing there for systems inside your body there too as well. And that's free. You don't have to buy it.
Absolutely. And that's the other thing that there's been, you know, warfare on, is how bad the sun is. When really, I think statistically and factually, you look at it, what is causing more cancers and skin cancers is probably the toxins that are in the sunscreen that we're using. I full-heartedly believe in the sun. And, you know, us growing up as Canadians, like, it's not like we had a whole lot of sun exposure. You had to get it while you could.
Yeah.
You know, we spent most of your covered up in clothes from head to toe. So I've always been someone that spends a great deal of time in the sun. I just spent several months living in Mexico, and there's a lot of sun and it's hot, and I don't use sunscreen. I haven't used sunscreen in years.
Either have I. It's because I used to put a baby oil on and coconut oil on my skin to get as dark as I can. I don't do that anymore there inside. But thing is, though, yeah, I don't think I've used sunscreen since I was like 18 years old. That was the last time I ever used that. And I just saw sunscreen out there, SPF 100. I'm going, yeah. What are you putting this on for kids? It says, oh, well, you're going to get skin cancer if you that. It says, you ever look at what's inside that bottle of sunscreen?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you said you touched on coconut oil. Actually, that is a natural SPF.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I use. I've used it for years. And I don't get sunburnt. I also use it as just a natural moisturizer too. So,
Go ahead.
Vitamin D is, like you said, is also very important. And it seems like basically the way it's become is anything they tell you not to do is probably what you should do. So get out in the sun, eat your meat.
Well, that's the funny thing. If you remember this, is that they said that eggs were bad for you. And then they said egg yolks are bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's come full circle around, and they go, no, it says egg yolks are actually good for you. There's a very important vitamins that are involved in that. Eat your eggs, the whole thing, right? Just eating egg whites is not that great. It's just, but you need the whole egg. And you're right, you touched that. When they had the food pyramid that went up there, they had cereals and stuff like that that were the best things for you. Now it's actually been turned around upside down. And from some doctors, some people, and people can go out there and check this out and factually check this, is that eating grains and stuff like that is good in a very small moderation. But there's more important foods that you should eat. And like you said, meats and beets.
Yeah. If that's one thing I want people to take away from today in terms of diet choices, meats and beets, because not only is it going to keep us vibrant, get your T levels up there, but let's keep in mind too, one of the things that's very helpful for our health, our mental health, our spiritual health, our physical health, is intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let that go. You have to, you don't, and of course they've told us, well, you know, you got your Viagras and there's prescriptions for this. You don't need the prescriptions. You don't.
Right.
You know, there are natural ways to do it. And again, I think there's an attack on our intimacy, because we do, as humans, we need that.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly the whole part that this whole show is basically is a low testosterone is not allowing people to be come together, be family units, keep a healthy family together where there's intimacy, everything like that. And how can you correct that? Meats and beets. Eat some eggs in the morning time and some bacon and get some fat in your body and do some exercise out in the sun. Walk a little bit, right? You don't see this happening anymore. I've seen it. Well, we were outdoor kids.
Yeah.
And it's different. And when you move into the city and you see the sedentary lifestyle of the majority of the people, and you go, well, then you wonder why people are getting bigger and bigger and slower and reactionary, that they can't think anymore, and you see problems, right?
We do. Yeah, we do. And that's a really great way to recap this whole discussion. You know, meats and beets, but getting back to basics, we really, you know, we have to get out in nature. We have to get out of these big cities. We have to maintain our family units. We have to maintain our intimacies, and we have to manage our own health. So you have to take a step back from what the medical societies and the governments and everyone is telling you. You can heal yourself from the basics mm-hmm. of food, and just going, you know, living your simple lives.
Exactly. And you got to think about 100 years ago, we didn't have a pharmaceutical companies that were giving everybody pills and stuff like that. And people still were able to survive, and they did a lot more work than like physical labor work. They might not have lived as long, but they weren't dependent on a drugstore to give them pills and stuff like that. And there's so many things I've talked about this so much on my show about we need to go and encourage skilled trades, encourage farming in your own backyard, even in a little small little area you have. You can get a bucket, grow some tomatoes, do something, and you'll see that you'll feel better, and you'll enjoy probably a little bit more.
Yep, absolutely. So you know, it all goes back to what we're talking about, right? Just the being out in nature, taking care of yourselves, limiting how much, online time, which again, in the last few years, people have been forced even more so to be behind electronics, in order to communicate and, conduct a living.
And it's the worst part is that we're doing this show on communication stuff and we're doing the computer, but and all the research I do that when I'm not at work doing this stuff, but no, you're true that we've a lot of people have been technologically locked to their phones, to their computers, and they don't spend that extra hour or something when the sun's out to go outside and just enjoy nature. And I think that's a very important part. And I think just even a little walk, or just even walk around your backyard a few times. Get outside in the sun and eat some meat, eat some beets, grow some beets.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Beets. Like you said, get a bucket and grow some beets.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we're coming down to the end there, Rachel. And so do you want to tell them where they can check you out there? Because you have your show that you're doing there too. So if you want to pass that on to our listeners.
I have a blog that I do, a weekly blog at Simple Truths by Rachel. Okay. R-A-C-H-E-L. And I actually just recently started that. I've been thinking about for the last year or so. And I have about 6-7 weeks into it. And I just have my blog here now. And I want to thank you for inviting me on. I'm not the most comfortable person on video. Though I have the radio experience, I'm not very good on video, but I've really enjoyed the opportunity to talk to you about the subject. And I'm glad I pushed through it. It's been very good.
I'm really excited that you came on, and you know what, and you do share a lot of views and stuff like that. I've been talking about for 3 years, and I think people just need to hear this a message over and over and over again, and maybe that they'll start to think about it. And like I said, we throw everything in the pot, you take what you get out of it, and maybe you find an ingredient that you like, and you go from there. But I say the whole thing is that do your own research, people, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Absolutely.
So this has been The Delicious Recipe. It's Thursday, and this is a pre-record, and it'll be airing there tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. And thank you very much, Rachel, for being on here, and We'll see you all next week.
Thanks, Dale.